We're joined by Matthew Bunn, who is the Assistant Director of the Science, Technology, and Public Policy Program at Harvard University. He advised the Clinton administration about the management of nuclear material in Russia. First of all, let me ask you about the possibility that Osama bin Laden might have access to nuclear weapons or nuclear materials. How likely do you think that really is?
Unfortunately, we can't rule it out. I don't believe that Osama bin Laden has a nuclear explosive today, but unfortunately, the nuclear material that you need is insecure and poorly accounted for at a variety of facilities around the world, especially in the former Soviet Union. Even more unfortunately, while making a nuclear explosive is difficult, it's not difficult enough that one can rule out the possibility that they would be able to make at least a crude nuclear bomb.
What do you think is more likely, that they would have nuclear knowledge or nuclear material, or both?
Well, it seems clear that al-Qaeda has been attempting to get both. There's a record of a number of attempts to purchase highly enriched uranium for use in nuclear explosives. There are also a couple of troubling incidents where it appears that the Taliban attempted to recruit nuclear experts from the former Soviet Union. For example, an official of Russia's Security Council announced in October of last year, Russia's security services had blocked a Taliban attempt to recruit a nuclear expert, but that three of his colleagues had already left the country and they didn't know where they had gone.
Obviously, the leader of Pakistan, General Pervez Musharraf, has concerns about this kind of thing because he has arrested a number of people and investigated a number of nuclear scientists. How high do you put that possibility, that people who share the Islamic views of someone like Osama bin Laden might have actually been trying to help?
Well, Pakistan relies very heavily on guards, guns, and gates, which provides high security if the threat is somebody trying to shoot their way in. But if the threat is a known and trusted worker carrying something out in a briefcase, no matter how many guards you have at the gate, it doesn't help unless you have the technology inside the facilities. Similarly, in Russia, in the old days, they had an effective system designed around a closed society with closed borders. So there are still facilities in Russia today where there's no security camera in the area where the plutonium canisters are stored, where there's no detector at the door of that building that would set off an alarm if someone had a canister of plutonium in their briefcase. And unfortunately, the amount of plutonium that you need for a nuclear bomb is only about the size of a soda can.
President Bush meets with President Putin this week. Is there anything that they can do in the way of an agreement or something that the United States can do to try to ease fears that Soviet Union nuclear material might get into dangerous hands?
Absolutely. I believe that if we take firm action now, we have an excellent chance of preventing nuclear terrorism from ever occurring. That would mean a drastic acceleration of our cooperation to secure and account for nuclear material.
Matthew Bunn, you thought the situation was dangerous before September 11th. Do you think that events of September 11th, the things that have happened since, does that move the whole thing up for you in terms of urgency?
Absolutely. Before September 11th, a reasonable argument could be made that people who were crazy enough to want to kill thousands of people at a time were crazy enough that they wouldn't be able to put together weapons of mass destruction very effectively. The degree of organization and planning involved in the September 11th attack makes it clear the threat of global terrorist organizations with both the will and the ability to kill thousands of people at once is a very real threat that we have to take very seriously.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Matthew Bunn is Assistant Director of the Science, Technology, and Public Policy Program at Harvard University. He joined us from WGBH in Boston.